This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
What does it mean to be a citizen? We will talk about that tonight. We have a whistleblower from Colorado. Well, an email from one. It's pretty eye-opening. Matt Walsh is here. Brianna Morello is here. All that's coming up on I'm Right. What does it mean to be a citizen? To be a citizen of a country, of a tribe, of whatever. What does it mean to be a citizen? What's the difference between being a citizen or, let's say, a slave? There's been slavery throughout history. What's the difference? Well, here's one of the main differences. There are several, but one of the main differences is this. Since I'm a citizen of the United States of America, I'm not a slave to the United States of America, I'm a citizen. That means I have a relationship with my government. You have a relationship with your government. Relationship means this. There are obligations that go both ways. That's really a huge part of being a citizen. As a citizen of the United States of America, I have obligations. Yes, sadly, taxes are part of that. I pay my taxes. I get just as mad about it as you get, but I pay my taxes. I pay way too many, but I pay my taxes, just like you do. Okay, that's part of it. Service to your country in some way, in one way or another. I have always felt a duty to my country. It's a big reason why I joined the Marine Corps. That's part of being a citizen. I feel blessed to be here. I wanted to serve it if I had to. I wanted to fight for it. I ended up having to do that, but that's part of being a citizen. Okay, so those are my obligations. But because I'm not a slave, because I'm a citizen, my government has obligations too. You see, this is not a one-sided thing. If I was a slave, it'd be one-sided. I would have to just work and do my duty and serve and expect nothing at all in return, but I'm not a slave. You're not a slave. You're a citizen. So the government, all governments, this isn't unique to ours, but the government has obligations it has to fulfill as well. Otherwise, there'd be no point to being a citizen. And so what are those obligations? Well, as in so many cases, you can tell a lot about what obligations the government should have towards its people by looking back towards the founders of this country and the Constitution. And what they really laid out, in a very general way to put it, is the government's job is to protect you from entities you can't defend, you can't defend yourself against on your own. Meaning, it's not necessarily the government's job to make sure the robber can't break into your house. Obviously, you want government to clean up crime, but if China decides to invade, well, I don't care how many guns and ammo you have, you're going to need some government-level assistance. Government, really its only role in a free country should be the protection of its citizens. Guard your border, keep the illegals out, protect you domestically against any foreign invasion, and a huge part of citizenship, not just now, but historically, throughout the history of the world, is protection for you when you're abroad, when you leave the country, when you leave the United States of America. How it's supposed to work is you're not just a random individual walking through Greece. You're a United States of America citizen. You are a citizen of this country. And that means the power of this country, the diplomatic and killing power of this country, they stand right behind you. Can't see them, but they're right behind you. And historically, that is how it has worked. You know that biblical story of Paul? Remember that story where Apostle Paul, everyone knows this story, whether you go to church or not, everyone knows this story. Apostle Paul's being flogged. They're beating him to death. And what's Paul say to him? You know I'm a Roman citizen, right? I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he tells him. You know you're doing this to a Roman citizen, right? What happens? Whoa, stop it. Let's get the guy some bandages. You need some water, Paul? Are you feeling okay? Why? Why did that put the fear of got Paul, flogging Paul. It wasn't because the Roman Empire had some specific love of Paul. After all, they did end up chopping his head off. It was because the Roman Empire protected its citizens when its citizens were abroad. You can tell people, I am a Roman citizen, and whoever you said that to, whether it be government entities or criminals, they knew, if I mess with this person, Rome will come for me. It's part of the reason citizenship in the Roman Empire was so treasured. You know you've earned that, right? As a citizen of the United States of America, you have earned that. That is the government's obligation to you. Whether you're in Greece or Mozambique or Russia or anywhere else on the planet, if you pull out a passport, an American passport, I don't care whether it's a terrorist group or whether it's a nation state, that should put the fear of God in whoever is messing with you. The fear should be, if I touch a hair on the head of this American citizen, the United States of America, they're going to come for me. They might do terrible things to me. And that can mean different things. It can mean diplomatic things are done, sanctions, things like that. On a more extreme level, if you're harming an American citizen, maybe you're a terrorist organization or otherwise, maybe some very bad men will come see you in the dark of night if you have touched a hair on the head of an American citizen. That's an obligation the government has to you. And I've been so angry in recent years watching that privilege of citizenship, watching that go away, watching the United States government slowly but surely decide that this is just a one-way relationship after all. Oh, you have all your obligations still. Oh, you better pay those taxes. IRS will be at your door tomorrow. But if you get in trouble abroad, it's not that big of a deal. Don't really care. And this is, I just want to say this, this is what happens when empires begin to crumble, when they begin to go downhill, when they begin to lose their influence abroad because very corrupt, evil people have taken over the reins at home. It's been going on for years. Remember Otto Warmbier? That'll always make me mad. It always will. Teenage boy goes to North Korea. Very dumb thing to do, but goes to North Korea. Apparently he ripped down a poster. That was what he was accused of. Ripped down a poster. Didn't murder someone or something like that. Yeah, they took him. We'll never know exactly what they did to him. But we know from the lawsuit that came afterwards and from the forensic investigation that he was tortured terribly. The North Koreans grabbed an American citizen, tortured him in some way. There were rumors about his teeth being removed, pushed back in, oxygen deprivation to his brain. His parents said he had scars on his feet. North Korea is famous for this, but he was returned to his parents in a coma-like state where he did nothing but scream incoherently for the little bit of time he had left on the planet, and he died. North Korea grabbed an American citizen and tortured him to death. And North Koreans didn't die for that. And North Koreans should have died for that. It's true. If you're a North Korean government official at any level and you had a hand in torturing an American citizen, you should have been killed by the United States of America. It's true. That's not extreme. Oh, I'm sure they'll love that quote somewhere, but that's how it's supposed to work. That's how citizenship works. The second you're in North Korea, you're a dirtball North Korean commie, and you grab Otto Warmbier for tearing down a poster, and you're thinking about pulling his fingernails out, you should pull out his passport and see he's an American, and it should make you afraid. Oh, whoa, whoa, hold up, guys. Pause, no more torture. This is an American. Let's get him on a plane, fly him first class back to America. I don't need that kind of heat. Instead, nothing was done. I think about this American citizen. Hamas just executed an American citizen. They just shot him. And no fear whatsoever. No fear whatsoever. In fact, well, this is what they said about it.
Mr. President, do you think it's time for Prime Minister Netanyahu to do more on this issue? Do you think he's doing enough?
No.
What? How about terrorists don't get to touch American citizens? How about if any American citizen is harmed, I will send dangerous men to cut off your head? That's how the American president should talk. But we are led by such despicable, evil people. All they can do is criticize Netanyahu. Remember back in the day when Obama was in office? It's more than just citizens. Remember when the Iranian Navy managed to capture a bunch of United States Navy sailors and hold them hostage? Do you remember? Oh, I remember it like it was yesterday. I'm just mortified now at how many people, entities, terrorists, nation states around the world feel completely comfortable abusing the American citizen, and how the government, they don't feel any obligation at all. Because to the government, and this is why, because we are led by corrupt, evil people, and the government now, you are not a slave, but that's exactly how they view you. They look at you and they don't feel any obligation towards you. They don't feel some duty to protect you. All they care about is themselves and their power and their money, and these people don't ever stress for a moment, about the American people, not domestically and not on foreign soil. Tim Walz wants to be your next vice president. He was asked about the American citizen who was just executed, and he was too busy with the ice cream.
What's your reaction to the 6 hostages being found dead in Gaza?
All right. Thanks, everybody.
No outrage. No sense of duty, no sense of honor. The people who lead this country have completely lost what it means to lead, to be a citizen, to be in government. They've lost what citizenship means. They don't care at all, and it drives me up the wall. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. We have a whistleblower, a cop in Aurora, Colorado. Have you heard what's happening there? Have you heard the media try to deny it? Talk about that next before we talk about that. Speaking of citizenship, you know what I hate? I know I'm going to sound like a crotchety old man right now. You know what I cannot stand? When I have to get a hold of somebody in customer service, when I have to call a company, and I can't talk to anybody who speaks English. They don't speak English. It's some call center in Madagascar somewhere, and it's click, click on the other line, and he doesn't speak English, he doesn't understand it, and then you have to repeat yourself 1,000 times. And these companies do this, of course, to save money, and they do this because they, too, don't feel any obligation to the American people. I love Pure Talk for a variety of reasons, but one of the things I love most about Pure Talk is they hire Americans who speak English. They hire people right here at home. And when you switch your cell phone service from Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, when you switch to Pure Talk, you will get to speak to somebody who speaks English. Go to puretalk.com/JesseTV to get started. You can keep your phone. You keep your number. We'll be back. All right, so you've heard probably by now what's happening in Aurora, Colorado. It's happening all over the country, New York City, abroad. Nations, hostile nations to us, have emptied their prisons onto our shores. That's what happens when you vote for Democrats. They open up the border on purpose, and your enemies will put all their murderers and rapists into our country. That's what Venezuela did. And they're not even accepting returns. And one of the things Venezuela sent to us was Tren de Aragua. Who is that? It's a famously violent prison gang from Venezuela. Venezuela didn't want to take care of them, deal with them anymore, so they emptied out the prisons and sent them all to the United States of America. Yes, that's right. Democrats did that to you, and they did it on purpose. There have been all kinds of reports that they are now taking over entire apartment complexes in Aurora, Colorado. Of course, the powers that be are trying to tell you this isn't happening, this is a lie, it's right-wing media, but I had a whistleblower, a police officer email in. I know his name. No, I'm not going to tell you. And this police officer said this. It's a little long. I'm going to read it. I'm a police officer in Aurora, Colorado, and we are in the news for the recent story about the armed Venezuelan gang members taking over apartment complexes. I am happy to see the story make national news, where the Aurora Police Department command staff and City of Aurora leadership are being asked the hard questions about what is occurring. Unfortunately, these leaders are not being truthful, nor are they acknowledging the problem as they know it to be. They are also trying to minimize the issue by implying the issue is confined to just the apartment complexes in the city. This could not be further from the truth. The Venezuelans are wreaking havoc throughout the entire city. Please help keep this story in the spotlight so the city of Aurora can no longer downplay the matter. The reality is the citizens and our officers are not safe as long as the issue continues to be ignored and real solutions are not being implemented. You see, it's not just that the system opened up the border of this country on purpose. It's not just that they allowed rapists and murderers to flood into the country on purpose. It's not just that. It's that now powerful people, mayors, police chiefs, media people, they are telling you to your face, this isn't happening. They're barring law enforcement agencies across the country from actually tackling the problem. You are being assaulted, abused, raped, and murdered at the behest of your government. That is not extreme in any way. It is the only reality you can take from this. Did you see the latest report? 75% of the crime in Midtown Manhattan, 75%. Being done by the illegals Democrats let into this country on purpose. You can insult Republicans all day long. Lord knows I love doing that. And there are Republicans like James Lankford who are responsible for this too. But the truth is, if you vote Democrat, you are anti-American. That's all there is to it. If you vote Democrat in the year 2024, you hate your country. That probably made you uncomfortable too, but I am right. Thankfully, though, you'll be able to sleep tonight. Well, as long as the Venezuelan gang doesn't kick in your door, you should be able to sleep soundly. And better yet, because of Beam, you'll be able to wake up and feel good. You see, being able to sleep well, that's not abnormal. There are a lot of things that can get you to sleep. A lot of things. But how many of those things have you feeling good when you wake up? Very few. In fact, I've never taken one in my life except for Dream Powder from Beam. I've taken many different things to sleep, prescription, over-the-counter, whatever. And every single one of them, every single one had me waking up feeling all groggy, horrible. Dream powder is all natural. It's melatonin and things like that. It's a cup of hot chocolate. You sip it before bed. You go to sleep. You sleep deep and wonderfully. But it's when you wake up, that's when you know how great it is. Go get 40% off. Shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Am I racist?
I would really appreciate it if you left.
I'm trying to learn. I'm on this journey.
Can you please leave?
If I'm going to sort this out, I need to go deeper undercover. If I want to be an ally, I need to look like one.
They gonna say I'm racist.
Joining us now is Matt, DEI expert.
What are you doing to decenter your whiteness?
Who's making it the center? Why are they doing that?
So I'll look around the room and point to the most racist person in the room.
I'm out, guys.
They gonna say you racist.
Am I racist? Rated PG-13. Buy tickets now.
It's his dryness. That's what makes this stuff so funny when he does it. It's this old curmudgeon dry delivery. We'll get to his friggin' movie in a moment. Hey, Matt, first I want to talk to you about raw milk. I'm a huge, huge fan, Matt. Could you break down raw milk? I'm just kidding. I've never had it before, but it looks delicious, Matt.
Yeah, well, apparently I'm the expert. I'm the spokesman for milk now. I've talked about milk. I've been in the public, commentary space for years now. I've said one thing on the subject of milk once, and that was on Sunday. And it was my one time saying anything about milk, and it went massively viral. And now I've got people screaming at me over something that, Apparently, look, I'll say this on raw milk. You want to drink it, go ahead. I think it's gross. You want to drink it, fine. I'm not saying anyone should ban it. I don't really care that much. I don't drink milk at all. I'm an adult, you know, I don't drink milk. I haven't had a glass of milk since I was like 8. But I just don't, it shouldn't be the centerpiece of your identity and your ideology is all I'm saying. And what I've learned from some people is that if you don't like raw milk, you're like excised from the conservative movement. You don't even, you don't belong anymore if you don't drink raw milk, which I didn't know it was that serious.
Yeah, man. Well, welcome, buddy. You troll these health freaks. I've been doing it with the keto people for years, and it is hysterical watching these people lose their freaking minds. All right, I'm going to move off of that, and let's focus on some important things. You wrote a great piece for the Daily Wire about these Venezuelan gangs coming in, of course, Trende Aragua. Venezuela empties its prisons onto American soil, where they now rape, murder, assault, and loot the United States of America. And the left-wingers who we have in charge of this country, they think it's hilarious. They love it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they don't, I mean, because they don't care about Americans at all. And this is the, you know, this is the fundamental difference here, really, ideologically, is, I mean, and there are many differences, of course, but you've got these people on the left. They just don't, the actual well-being of American citizens, which should be the most basic thing politically that concerns us, does not concern them at all. I mean, it really comes down to that. They just don't, they don't care that much about the fact that, you know, in American communities, you're dealing with this. I mean, this is the kind of thing that it's obvious to you and me, but to these people, it isn't. It's the kind of thing that should just, it should fill you with rage when you see this sort of thing happening in an American community. But and if you don't have that gut level reaction, then there's something, I think, deeply wrong with you spiritually.
Okay, so what is wrong with them, Matt? How can you look at the American people being terrorized? How many stories have you had to cover, have I had to cover, these beautiful young women being bludgeoned to death, children? It's just, the stories are awful. The kind of stuff that just, if you're a parent, if you're a human, it tears your heart out. So if you're one of these people doing it on purpose, as the Democrat politicians and losers like James Lankford, they're doing it on purpose. If you're one of those people, how do you sleep at night? What do you tell yourself when you go to bed and know that you opened up the border and a 12-year-old girl got raped, strangled, and chucked in a ditch here in Houston?
Yeah, I think there's two levels. So there's the people that are in charge that push this stuff, the elites. And for them, I just think that they're basically soulless. And they've decided that it works to their benefit to bring about the, you know, destruction of American society. They want to dismantle everything because they figure that in the midst of that chaos, they can gain more power and influence and money. You know, it's a story as old as time in many ways. But then on the, just like your average liberal voter, let's say, I don't think that that most of them really want to see their own communities destroyed, because you at least have some basic self-interest, right? You want to be safe yourself. You'd think you'd want that for your family, no matter where you are in the political spectrum. But I think a lot of them have been brainwashed into this idea that it's some, like, you're not allowed to care about the well-being of your own community and your own country. They've been brainwashed into this idea that it's somehow racist or xenophobic or something to prioritize the well-being of your countrymen. And many of them have taken that to heart, and it's completely deranged.
Along those lines, let's talk about this movie, because there is a poll of all the polls that we have to read daily, presidential polls and public opinion polls and poll this and poll that. The one that I think sticks in my mind more than any poll of my 43 years on this planet is, after there wasn't a red wave during the midterms, it was more like a red trickle, and now we have a slim Republican majority of losers in the Congress, Democrats were polled, and their top issue by a mile, Matt, by a mile, was white supremacy, something that does not exist in organized form in any way in this country. If you were ever outed as a legitimate white supremacist, your entire life, your career would be over. You'd have to change your name and move to the mountains somewhere like the Unabomber. It just would never, you'd never be allowed in polite society. This is not something that exists, yet for half the country, it's the top issue, and it's how they vote. Matt, you made a movie, a hilarious movie, I might point out. You made a movie about this. What is this thing? What's wrong with us?
Yeah, I think it goes back kind of to the dichotomy between the elites, the people in charge, and the average people on the street. And I think that, look, the as you point out, white supremacy does not exist in an organized form. It's not something. I mean, the other day, Kamala Harris was out promoting the fact that they passed an anti-lynching law. She's very proud of it. They passed it 2 years ago. lynching was already illegal like three times over. It was already a hate crime. No black person has been lynched in this country in like 40 years. It's not something you have to worry about. But that's obvious to us. And I think that if you just kind of leave people alone to just live their lives, they kind of see that. That obviously you notice people of different races in your everyday life, and it's, you know, you notice it, but it's not going to be a central focus of your life. You just kind of live your life and you're not too worried about it. But, and the grifters know that, which is why these racist grifters, these DEI grifters, they know that, which is why their job is to come in and tell people, no, you need to focus on this all the time. You think you're not racist because you look inside your own mind and you think, well, I don't hate people of other races. It's not that simple. In fact, if you think you're not racist, that's even a greater indication that you are racist, and they want to keep you in that kind of space where you're just circling around this idea, spiraling into sort of racial insanity.
Speaking of racism, Dome was doing a rally and she dropped the old Georgia accent. I guess that's what this is.
You better thank a union member for the 5-day work week. You better thank a union member for sick leave. You better thank a union member for paid leave. You better thank a union member for vacation time.
Matt, there's nothing funnier to me in politics than Democrats pandering to black people. It's so nakedly racist in and of itself. Pandering, shameless, cringy, from Hillary Clinton's hot sauce to Joe Biden flat out told them they were going back to chains. If Mitt Romney got elected, of all people, to Dome pretending from Georgia to Detroit, she's some from the ghetto, apparently. I love it, Matt. It just makes me laugh.
It is hilarious, and she doesn't. It's even funnier, of course, because she doesn't nail the. I don't know what she. It's funny because I guess she's trying to appeal to black voters, obviously. But she sounds, if anything, like a plantation owner in the antebellum South in 1850. Like that. If the accent sounds like anything, it reminds me of that. You know, or Foghorn Leghorn, as other people have pointed out. She doesn't even nail it. She's from Canada. She's a wealthy person from Canada, and that's who she is. And it's fine to be. I mean, it's not great to be from Canada. I wouldn't be proud of it either. But you know, you are who you are. At least embrace that fact is what I would say.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait till my wife sees this. Matt, tell me about this movie. I have to know. Tell everyone about it.
Well, this is our exploration of anti-racism and DEI. And it's all real. We talk to real people. Everything, nothing scripted. But through the course of the movie, I become a DEI expert myself. And all I'm really doing is I'm just taking these ideas that these people have and I'm trying to put it into practice in the film. And we kind of go down the rabbit hole. It goes to some very strange and rather dark places, but also, I think, pretty funny. And it comes out September 13th. You can buy tickets now at miracist.com. We got a pre-sale tickets are very important with films like this. So I encourage everyone to go there and buy the tickets.
Yeah, I would encourage him to do the same. Matt, thank you, brother. As always, love your work. I appreciate you very much. I'm preemptively laughing. You have any idea how hilarious this movie is going to be? Because you hear him. He's just such a curmudgeon, and he's so dry with his delivery about everything. When you remember that movie he did, What is a Woman? Which was hysterical, absolutely hysterical. Can you imagine him going undercover as a DEI guy? Oh, my gosh, it's going to be great. The amount of people who are going to get angry at him is going to be great. And yeah, go buy some tickets to it. Buy a ticket for a... You want to talk about the ultimate family night? Because it's going to be family-friendly. Take your wife out on a date. Take the family. Take friends. Go buy some tickets to it. And yeah, he's right. Pre-ticket sales are a big thing. AmIRacist.com. Go get yourself some tickets. It's going to be an event. It's going to be a family-friendly event. You can make fun of commies and laugh at Matt Walsh. AmIRacist.com. All right? We'll be back.
And yet, as we've seen time and time again, her and Joe Biden have taken actions both directly and indirectly to censor free speech. Most recently, I can point to my own experience of this, of how the Harris-Biden administration have added me to a secret domestic terror watch list the very day after Kamala Harris was endorsed by Joe Biden. And I was on TV and warning the American people about what I saw as the dangers of a Kamala Harris presidency, taking action that was clearly political retaliation. They've done this to a lot of different people, which points to how dangerous it is to have people in power so willing to abuse that power to go after political opponents.
Okay, all right.
That's quite a reveal, only it wasn't Dana Bash's reveal, and that's not the first time I heard about it. The first time I heard about it is when Brianna Morello broke this story. It is a story you better pay attention to if you're an American citizen, because as I've told you a million times, the most dangerous thing happening on the planet right now is your government taking all of its guns and pointing them inward against its own citizens. Joining me now, Brianna Morello, host of the wonderful Brianna Morello Show. So proud of her. Brianna, first of all, this is your story. It is not my story. You broke this whole thing. So for people who have never heard of this, walk us through the whole thing.
Yes. Well, thank you, Jesse. We had whistleblowers come forward and report that they were asked to follow Ms. Tulsi Gabbard. And they were doing so since late July. She was suddenly added to the list after making an appearance on Fox News. Now, it's interesting, of course, because while she was on Fox News, like she said there, she was very critical of the Biden-Harris regime. And then, surprise, surprise, she gets tossed onto this watch list. Now, I was told that she's being followed by 5 to 6 federal agents on all of her flights. She actually didn't even know about this. She had an idea because she was going through extra security, but she was told that it was just random. But when I contacted her team, they were unaware that she was added to this terror watch list. So we did let them know, of course. And since then, it's been very public. We've gotten millions of views on the story because Uncovered DC also got some of the details in another exclusive too. And so we've mapped it out for the people. Ultimately, as well, Congress was forced to respond. I mean, I was hitting the phones calling everyone on a bunch of the committees that are very critical in all of this. And they launched 2 congressional investigations into this. So it's laughable when Dana Bash gets up there and says that she has no idea about this secret watch list. They're not even hiding it. If you go to the TSA's website, you could find all the information about it on their website. So this isn't really even secretive. It's just a matter of whether the mainstream media wants to report on it or not. And sadly, even over at Fox, they haven't been reporting on it fairly either, calling it a federal watch list. But in fact, it's rooted in terrorism. And so it's a terrorist watch list. So they're not really being fair about this.
Okay, so in all your digging and all this, what a shock that Fox wouldn't get into it. And all your digging and all this, does it look like it's as naked as it appears to be? She was a little too loud, a little too vocal, blasting away at the Biden Dome administration, and they just decided to harass her like a domestic terrorist? Is it really that simple?
That's what it sounds like. Now, I actually currently have a lawsuit pending against TSA in regards to this watch list. So many individuals who flew into the DC area around January 6th were automatically added to this watch list, and they're still on that watch list still to today, even people who have not been criminally charged. So I want to find out, like you, Jesse, how people get out on this list. I specifically asked TSA through FOIA requests for the details for specific journalists who were added to the list. And I wanted to see who emailed them to alert them of these individuals and what was the communication internally on that front. But they didn't want to hand it over. They're not even denying that it exists. They're just saying that they don't want to give it to us. And so TSA is aggressively fighting me on that front as well. But again, it's literally, it seems just like they just put it in a request for individuals to be added to the list, and they're added. It's not even like they actually have to have an open case against these individuals. It's just that they have to flag them for suspicious activity.
Wow, that's definitely sounds like the land of the free. Okay, speaking of the government covering things up, we sadly remember that tranny demon who walked into a Christian school, killed a bunch of kids, teachers, friggin' awful. And we also remember the government doing what it's always done, run protection for the LGBTQ demon mob and not release the manifesto, although the manifesto was released today. Without getting too graphic, since there are children watching, Brianna, what was in this thing?
Yeah, it's just more hate. This individual is just very full of hate and rage, does not like white people, makes that very clear, does not like Christians, makes that very clear. and then says graphic things about an imaginary bleep. We won't say the word, but as one would assume, somebody who's thinks that they're another gender, that's what she's referring to and what she wants to do with that imaginary bleep. Then she also goes into detail about brown people and how much she loves brown people. This is somebody who obviously is mentally unwell and should not have been able to legally obtain a firearm. And so we're still looking into all that information as to how they were able to get a firearm in the first place. But, you know, it's really upsetting because there was a judge in Tennessee, a very liberal judge. I actually called her out and aired out her social media post because she is an active member of some, or an active advocate, I should say. I don't know where she falls in line, but somebody who campaigns at LGBT, whatever events. She's also very far, far left, supporter of BLM and all of those other far left groups. She's posted about that openly on social media. She actually said that the manifesto can't be released because it's copyright. And so what she was likely trying to do there was to block any media outlets from publishing it and then giving the victims, not the victim's family, but the actual suspect's family, the right to go after and sue any reporter who released it. Now, obviously, that's not going to hold up when we get challenged to the higher courts, and that's the process it's taking up now. But it just goes to show how far they're willing to take this, that they don't like the First Amendment. It's inconvenient for them because it doesn't allow them to spin the narrative. They don't want you to know that this was a hateful trans person who specifically targeted Christians and white people. They don't want you to know any of that information. So the levels that they've gone to suppress all of this has been incredible. The Tennessee Star has been doing an amazing job fighting this in courts and exposing all of this. They're the ones who just released this. But then you also have Louder with Crowder's Mug Club investigation, who released a couple of the pages in all of this. We wouldn't know anything about motive if it wasn't for investigative reporters. And that's the key point. If without investigative reporters, we'd be waiting here and waiting here for the courts to give us the access to it. And we all know that they don't want to. So it's upsetting, again, that this is going on in the first place, but not surprising.
Speaking of covering things up, motives, covering up motives, among other things, the Trump assassination was not that long ago. Conveniently, the media has moved on from the fact that somebody tried to blow Trump's head off. And we, the American people, are left with the FBI. They're the ones who are going to tell us the who, what, when, where, and why. Where are we on all this?
Yeah, well, I've run around and asked people, well, members of Congress, I should say, about this, and they told us that they can't trust the FBI either. That's what many of the members of Congress said. Not a single person said they trust the FBI, and that's probably what the American people feel as well. We're just really counting on whistleblowers and people to come forward and leak. We know that there's been several leakers who have gone to the Senate and have reported it to people like Josh Hawley. The investigation, though, is pretty stale. They don't want to shift blame onto themselves, obviously. And this is putting it nicely. The Secret Service failed that day. And whether it was intentionally failed or not, I mean, I'm leaning more towards intentionally at this point, because members of Secret Service have allegedly come to the U.S. Senate and told senators that, hey, listen, we were told not even to ask for additional resources. And then when you walk through all of this, it just doesn't sound like it's a miscommunication issue at this point. But again, they're trying to block us from finding out the critical pieces of information. There's a lot of messages that were never saved. Apparently, the radio calls, there's none of that that's saved either. So again, we're all just kind of standing by and waiting to see what will come out of all of this. But it's not going to come from our government. Our government can't be trusted. It's going to come from those who work internally and who are upset that this happened in the first place, who are going to leak it to Congress.
Brianna, speaking of that, Congress and everything else, Mark Zuckerberg just penned a letter, very famously. He penned a letter to Congress, House Judiciary Chairman Jim Jordan, saying he regrets caving into the White House pressure to censor COVID. Well, I guess it was information, although they called it misinformation back then, the COVID truth that they managed to censor over and over and over again. We're never going to have a reckoning for any of this stuff, though, are we? It's naive to think any of these people are going to be held to account. We live in a quasi-communist country already.
Yeah, we do. We do. And, you know, I wanted to see if Zuckerberg was actually meaning what he put in that letter. And so I reached out to Meta and I asked if they plan on unshadow banning those who have been shadow banned on both Facebook and Instagram. I also asked if they were going to be lifting those that were banned, and I did not get a response from Meta. So I'm doubtful that they're actually being truthful here when they're putting out statements like this, because they could reverse what they previously have done, and they haven't done so yet. And speaking of just that too, you know, the former governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, you know, the individual who intentionally put COVID positive patients in nursing homes, the most vulnerable population, is going to be called in front of the subcommittee for COVID. So we'll see how that plays out. But again, all these individuals need to be held accountable. It's just a matter of whether they actually are. I mean, this is going to happen again. There was not a single person who's been punished for any of this. They led thousands of Americans, let's just say thousands of Americans, because we really won't even know how many because they've manipulated the statistics so much, to their deaths. And it was the only consistent factor that we knew in all this, that the elderly were the most vulnerable. And what do? They intentionally exposed them to the virus. They put them in literally nursing homes with these individuals and didn't really care. So although, you know, Mark Zuckerberg is coming out now and he's pretending, oh, I feel remorse for that. I feel remorse for the election and interfering in the election, my $400 million donations that I made. I don't think he's authentic because he's not doing anything to correct those actions.
Yeah, of course. Well, at least COVID, with all that garbage, brought us you in a roundabout way, didn't it?
It did. It did. Yeah. You know, I'd be at Fox probably still to this day and working at my little desk job producing shows that I probably shouldn't be producing anymore. You know, it's the one positive thing I have to say, right? Rejecting the COVID jabs and starting independently on my own work. And a lot of great, and this is the one sad part, a lot of my colleagues, my great conservative colleagues over at Fox, they all left, they just weren't loud about it. And so they're no longer at Fox. So you've got a bunch of complicit individuals still working behind the scenes these days over at Fox. And the rest of us are either in independent journalism or have started our own companies. And so we'll see how it all turns out for us. So far, not too bad.
Well, fingers crossed, you'll be fine. Appreciate you, Brianna. All right, we have lightened the mood. Next. All right. It is time to lighten the mood. And before we get to lighten the mood, we are growing rapidly the YouTube and Rumble channels of the show. And I should clarify something. You're going to see different things on the YouTube channel, on the Rumble channel, than you see here. Little things. If I watch a debate, you know, the next time there's a debate, obviously we're going to come on this show and I'm going to do a full show and I'm going to talk about it. You want my immediate 1 minute, 2 minute reaction to the whole thing? Maybe we'll throw some funnies in there. Go subscribe to the YouTube channel or Rumble channel if you prefer that. YouTube.com/JesseKellyDC or Rumble.com/JesseKellyDC. How about that for shameless promotion? Now, for a light in the mood, let's make fun of Elizabeth Warren. Elizabeth Warren provided us with the funniest moment in the history of politics. I'm trying to think. I realize that's subjective. So maybe that's my opinion on it. But do you remember the Elizabeth Warren DNA thing? Before I play the video of her talking about scholarships, before I play that, you remember the DNA thing, right? Elizabeth Warren, she has had advantages in life because she claimed to be of Indian heritage. She claimed to have Indian blood in her. And she took this to such an extreme. Sorry, I'm trying to keep a straight face. She took this to such an extreme. She submitted a recipe to something called Pow Wow Chow, an Indian recipe of hers. And then Trump starts blasting it away at her, as he does so well, and just calling her out on the fact that no one believes she's an Indian. So she takes a DNA test, and the DNA test comes back and conclusively proves she's pretty much the whitest person in the history of the world. There's no Indian DNA there whatsoever. She made the whole thing up. Only she doesn't get the results of the test back and hide them. She gets the results of the test back and she publicizes the test that shows she's a huge liar. So that's who this person is. So just take that in as you watch Elizabeth Warren bragging about a scholarship.
I was a high school debater and I got a scholarship to college. Woohoo! I got a scholarship to college. Yay! I got a scholarship to college. Yay! I was a high school debater and I got a scholarship to college. Woo!
I got a scholarship to college. Yay!
I got a scholarship to college, debater, yes. I got a scholarship to college, yay. I got a scholarship to college, yay.
I got a scholarship, yay.
I'll see you tomorrow.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.